DW.
Edward Davy is convinced there are plenty more happy stories out there, in spite of the shameful way we humans have been dealing with the environment and heating up the climate. He's the author of a book entitled Given Half a Chance, 10 Ways to Save the World. He says there are plenty of reasons for qualified optimism. But against the background of unprecedented heat waves, devastating forest fires, droughts, floods, melting ice, a warming ocean, rising seas, where are the grounds to be optimistic? In his book, Davy sets out 10 paths for the future, including using renewables, protecting forests, better agriculture and smarter cities. That all sounds very positive, but is it realistic? I found myself wondering whether his book is not a utopia rather than a recipe for actually saving the world from climate change. So I put that to the author on the phone from the UK.
Well, there is some degree of utopianism in there. We do need to dream of a different, better world. That's what Martin Luther King did. That's what those who campaigned against the slave trade did. The thing about this better world that we think of is, irrespective of the climate, it's better for us. It's better for our health. It's better for our children's lives. It's better for our appreciation of the natural world. We've also seen that it can be done. You know, in the book, I describe places like such as in Ethiopia where we actually have restored the earth already. So yes, it's utopia, but it's also immersed in the real world and what we've already achieved.
You talk, though, about the problems of the current political climate. We need the political will to bring about the changes that you suggest in the book. In times of populism, nationalism, the UK is all out for Brexit. President Trump is putting America first, even ahead of the world climate as a whole. So how can we turn things around against that background, with people looking very much to their own interests without regard for the rest?
It's a very difficult time, this. I start the book in the years of 2015 with the Sustainable Development Goals and the Paris Agreement. It felt like a better time for international environmental action. Notwithstanding the current political climate, I do feel we can turn this to our advantage. It is in every country's self-interest to broker a better climate. These issues are playing out globally, but they're also playing out in every single country. We also need to try and make a link between people's populist feeling about their love of their nation and the love of the environment in that nation. There's a nexus, there's a relationship to be built between those two things.
Is there not a tendency to clean up our own backyard and export the problem elsewhere? When it comes to working in other countries, for instance, we're seeing fossil fuel power stations being built with Chinese money in Africa.
Yes, that's a huge issue. And I think we've got to try to encourage the Chinese to green the Belt and Road Initiative, which they have committed to doing, and not to export coal from home to Kenya and elsewhere. We do export our environmental problems. We've seen that with waste in the UK going to Malaysia and Indonesia and elsewhere. We need to change this situation. We need to be responsible for our own environmental impact. So we need to think well. We need to think in a systems way about the impact we have in the world. But yes, every country needs to act. And in the case of China, I think the ecological civilization that Xi Jinping has committed himself to needs to be a truly global one.
Now, we are seeing a lot of advances in renewable energies, whether it be China or elsewhere, but there is still far too much coal being mined and burned. How can we bring about a change in mindset?
Coal is the biggie, and we've got to stop taking out more coal. The commitments we've already made to Paris and so on mean basically no more coal. So there'll need to be a very, very fast shift. The cost of renewables is coming down. You know, the economics here can play a really important role. But we also need government regulation. We need political action. And I think there also there's the cause for hope. Young people around Europe, around the world, are encouraging and clamoring their leaders to adopt more aggressive policies. So it's about political action, you know, voters in democratic systems asking and telling their leaders that they've got to shift away from coal.
In the book, you write, the battle against climate change can only be won if we manage to maintain a world of abundant, healthy, resilient forests. So how do you feel when you see the fires destroying the great Amazon rainforest and the response of a powerful figure like Brazil's President Bolsonaro, who thinks clearance and development are more important than preserving the forests anyway?
I'm very worried about the direction of travel in Brazil, a country I love and have worked in. There are many Brazilian organisations and states, critically, that do not wish to follow this direction. So I have some hope that at the state level in Brazil, states will push back against further deforestation. We are seeing some encouraging signs in Colombia and Indonesia that those countries are reducing rates of deforestation. There are also worries about the Democratic Republic of Congo. We cannot save the planet if we don't save the world's tropical forests, rainforests, but also, of course, the world's boreal forests. And the forest fires that are hitting Europe at the moment are also a great worry. So I think, again, here, renewed political attention and will is what's required. And with Mr. Bolsonaro, I think we need to remind him that really it's in Brazil's self-interest in terms of its economic growth, its agriculture, its resilient climate for it to protect its great national asset, the rainforests.
So how do we convince people like a Bolsonaro that it would actually be more in the country's self-interest to protect the forest rather than to destroy it?
Some of it, I think, is about economics. Some of it's about national self-interest. But some of it's also going to be about other things, about people's emotions, people's desires, social media, the views of young people, the views of religious communities. I mean, Brazil's a very religious country. The evangelicals have a strong view about the importance of protecting the natural environment. So I think we environmentalists are going to have to think in new ways about telling our story in a way that's attractive to leaders at this time. Religious leaders, celebrities, people of moral value, also political leaders themselves, however much we might dislike their values. I mean, we need to find a way for Trump and Bolsonaro and others to own this agenda. We can't make this an issue of left and right.
Do you think the Fridays for Future movement is having an impact in turning things in the right direction? Or is it just a case of the kids are out on the street and other than that, business and the economy carries on with business as usual?
I think it is having a huge impact, both morally, but also practically. I think it's making everybody stop and think. And I think that's also true of Extinction Rebellion in the UK. I think Greta, her and her colleagues, her contemporaries' voice is really cutting through. It's very clear, it's very honest, it's very stark, it's simple language. She's young, she's intelligent, she's understood what the situation we're in. I think it's definitely making a huge impact, and it will only do more of that in the future.
You say towards the end of the book, given half a chance, the planet and the natural world have a remarkable capacity to recover. Do we have the half a chance?
We really do. I mean, I genuinely believe in the best of the human spirit, we can turn this around. Of course, there are many of us on this earth, and there are many more to come, but we can live in harmony with the natural world. We're seeing that happen. This is an unprecedented moment in terms of people's understanding of the challenges we face. We can do this. It would be a failure on every front not to. We've got to try our very best. Let's do it. Not a moment to lose.
Edward Davey, the author of Given Half a Chance, is also a project director at the World Resources Institute. If you'd like more information on the book, contact us at livingplanet@dw.com. And do you think we have half a chance to save the world? We'd love to hear your views.
This report was brought to you by DW.